This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North Convenience Stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Afternoon, at the tone, Pacific Daylight Time will be...
It's 5 o'clock.
5 o'clock.
One step closer to my own personal hell.
This is Primetime on Sports Radio 1080 The Fan.
We expect the best. We're not afraid to break someone. Do you hear me?
Primetime is your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports.
Go ahead and clap. Mediocrity deserves applause.
Isaac Rob.
I'm miserable. I had to get up at 10 o'clock this morning.
Jason Sakanic.
I'm a dude playing a dude disguised as another dude.
Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
All right. Welcome back. Hope you're having a nice little Thursday. It's your sports bros. Rob, that's me.
Sada.
Big Sook's right over there.
Right here.
Oh, dude.
Ryan Buckley, if you're wondering, he sounds even worse than he did 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know what's going on with him.
No.
He's probably dying.
We think
probably.
So. At this point, he's going to pull a, like he says everything's fine, but like a week's going to go by. We'll come back from the holiday break and there'll be no more Buckley.
Who would be Buckley's replacement, do you think?
Well, I think right now there's only two options. So,
and who would that be?
I think that's Orton or that's Schultze, right?
Mm.
Got to kill off a second one.
What?
Saying if I kick the bucket, the two of them have to fight to the death, so we actually lose two.
Oh, gotcha.
That is true.
Only one man left standing.
I mean, yeah. Ortner would obviously win that, but something tells me Schultze would kill Ortner in some sort of weird, bizarre up. Look, Schultze wants it more. Let's be honest.
He does.
Yeah.
There's no question about that.
Yeah.
He's a scrapper.
Yeah.
I
mean, it may not look like much of a physical fight, but Schultze will just like wait till Ortner's like in the parking lot and he'll run him over. He'll do a Luigi sort of situation. Then we got a manhunt. And then we got to find Schultze, and he'll probably be at a McDonald's or
he
a Dutch Brothers.
Yeah.
You know, and then we're...
With the backpack.
Yeah, and then we're back to square one. Can you imagine, though, like the video? It's just, it'll be Schultze in a pair of shorts and
a
Mariner's...
unsuspecting Ortner just...
Yeah. It'll be like him in a Mariner's quarter zip, because that's all he owns.
He's probably got like a mini bat that he got at a Mariner's giveaway day. Wah!
Little Schultz, yeah.
All right. Well, coming up tonight in the club, I didn't get to this yesterday. We have the unbelievable story from the world of Scrabble.
Yeah, I don't know that there. I didn't know really there was a world of Scrabble, but I'm guessing there's like competitions and whatnot.
Exactly.
Is there anything that doesn't have competitions?
There are Scrabble champions.
Yes.
All over the world.
Yes.
Wait, have we gotten to newspaper jacking yet? Did we do that already?
Did I delete that?
I don't know. People were asking about it yesterday because we tried to do it 2 days in a row.
I can't remember if we did that story or not.
I don't think
we didn't.
Would you like me to present that to you in the club?
I would.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Okay.
I keep waiting.
Put it in the notes here.
Thank you.
Forgot about that. And then we also have the perfect hangover sandwich, according to science.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know if I go hangover sandwich, but now I kind of feel like I should.
This hour, money, 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 and ESPN ranks the top 15 quarterbacks in the portal. Mm. Right now, we're early. The Hot 5 at 5.
Oh,
on
hot
time.
Topics, hot opinions.
So proud of yourself.
Oh, darling,
boss.
Hot today.
And hot air. It's time for the Hot 5 at 5.
That's hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 on primetime with Isaac and Sue.
No, I mean it. That's very hot.
The Hot 5 at 5 with Isaac and Sue. Brought to you on The Fan by Victorico's Mexican Food. Discover Victorico's new savory menu items. Order in-store, online, or get it delivered straight to your door at victorico's.com.
Yeah, put it in there!
That's an underrated cross, by the way.
Number five.
I'm going to play a clip for you, okay? Right. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
I'm very confident.
Yeah. Remember that?
I do.
I'm very confident.
Yeah. That is Pac-12 Commissioner George Kliavkov here on this program saying he was very confident the Pac-12 would survive.
Turns out,
yeah.
Well, actually, you know, he is right. It did survive.
I'm very confident.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, I play that because today, Ohio State Athletic Director Ross Bjork said he is, quote, absolutely confident, end quote, Ryan Day will return as the Buckeyes coach.
Yes, he said Ryan Day is awesome. And he said, regardless of what happens against Tennessee, that he expects Ryan Day to be back. And we'll see about that.
I'm very confident.
Yeah.
We'll see about that. Now, look, I don't think a close loss would get it done. But if you get embarrassed at home and there's a bunch of Tennessee fans there and you just look inept, it wouldn't shock me. I think it's unlikely. But it wouldn't shock me if they went in a different direction.
Speaking of underrated drops, that one right there.
Kliavkov?
Oh, yeah. That's a gem.
Number four.
Well, Colorado two-way star Travis Hunter has been named AP College Football Player of the Year.
Yes, and he will win the Heisman Trophy this week as well. And he just signed with Adidas, so good for that young man.
Yeah, Adidas, I believe it's called.
Oh, yes. A little shocking because, you know, he's a Dion guy. Dion's Nike through and through. Has his own shoe there, but... Although I did, I always find that funny, like with, like, is anyone buying Travis Hunter gear? Like, does anyone buy Patrick Mahomes?
Well, don't they sign him early in the event that they blow up in the pros and then everybody wants their...
When's the last time a cornerback moved a lot of merch in the NFL?
Did Sauce do it? Probably not.
No.
Pac-Man?
No.
No. Jason Sehorn.
Oh, my God.
I don't know what they gave him, but, you know. Yeah. He's an Adidas guy now.
Ashton Gentry finishes second in the voting, and Cam Scataboo third.
Yeah. Gentry, by the way, a distant second. So,
And Scataboo only got one vote. But.
Yeah. I know it was one guy. I still would have liked to seen him in New York. And you know what? Shadur probably belongs in New York, too. I mean, Sanders had a great year there in Colorado, but just got overshadowed by his teammate.
Portal news, former Texas A&M quarterback Connor Wegman commits to Houston. Mm-hmm. He has 2 years of eligibility remaining.
See, there's five-star quarterbacks in the portal.
Yeah.
He's one of them.
A big win for the Huskies in the portal. They nab former Kansas State offensive lineman Carver Willis. He chooses UW over Michigan, Oklahoma, and LSU.
Hey, that's a big deal because I would say that of the positions that I think are the hardest to find quality guys, O-line is right up there.
Well, they've gotten two, I think. There's another kid, I want to say maybe Oklahoma, but I can't remember where he came from, that they got at Washington as well. And stop me if you've heard this before, former USC and now former Boise State top prospect, quarterback Malachi Nelson is transferring again.
Five-star quarterback, couldn't win the job at USC, transferred to Boise State, gets beat out by a very, very average quarterback, and now he's on the move again.
He must really suck. He's like Trey Lance.
Yeah, something.
College is Trey Lance. Yeah.
You would think at that point, dude, just plant your flag and actually try to get better as opposed to just... Like,
what? What terrible advice.
Trying to find someplace that's going to give you a job?
Former Florida coach Dan Mullen yanked from the broadcast booth and will be the next head coach at UNLV.
Hey, that's a great get for UNLV.
Yeah, that's a really good get.
Yes.
I'm surprised he took that job. It's a five-year deal.
He was good, and he was good at Florida. Like, they should have never fired him. Now, the question becomes, if you're UNLV, can you hold on to him? You know, if he does a nice job there, but... for UNLV, that's a good get. I don't think you could do much better than that.
And there are reports that Oregon running backs coach Rashad Samples is a finalist for the head coaching gig at Sam Houston. Samples is only 30 years old. Now, Sam Houston is only 2 years old.
Interesting. Sam Houston's only 2 years old?
Well, they went 9-3 in just their second ever season. And that prompted their coach, Casey Keeler, to leave.
I'm out.
He went to Temple.
Surprised, and I wonder, as we get deeper into this, if Will Stein's name doesn't start popping up.
You don't hear it much, do you? No, but there's there's no real coaching carousel this year.
I haven't really seen it. I think everyone's kind of keeping the...
Well, and they're doing it early, right? These coaches are getting hired. I mean, is there an opening besides Sam Houston?
I don't think there's a significant one. And I just think that people with all the money that's having to be spent, maybe they're playing it a little closer to the vest now than they used to.
And the Niners appear on life support. They are 6-7, but the good news is they're just two back of the Seahawks for the lead in the NFC West. Huge one in the division tonight. Thursday night football, San Francisco hosting the 7-6 Rams. The Niners are getting Dre Greenlaw back, and Nick Bosa has been activated. He is playing as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's... dude, this division's going to be nuts. I don't know if the 49ers can get back into it, but the Rams certainly are into this. And it feels like an elimination game, certainly for the Niners. The Rams could probably survive this, but it's going to be tough if they want to keep within striking distance of Seattle. But they do play in Week 18, so they just need to be a game back going into that.
Hot 5 and 5 brought to you by Victor Rico's Mexican Food, a hit with the whole family. Order in store, online, or delivered to your door at victorricos.com. When you think of flavor, think of Victor Rico's. Boy, we've got 2 minutes here. How about that?
Oh, what do we?
What do we do now?
I don't know.
Talk sports?
Talk more about drones? I mean, I don't know.
I think the Niners are going to win tonight.
Do you?
Well, just because that's the NFL.
Welcome to Thursday Night Football.
They're favorite, aren't they?
Yeah, they're favorite.
Well, it's funny that everyone was riding San Francisco, like, off, and then they blow out the Bears. But it's the Bears. Like, isn't it funny how narratives change? Like, you just... So much of the NFL, I swear, is just it comes down to scheduling and who you play. And I'm not saying that the Niners can't get it together. They still have a very talented team, but just wake me when you beat someone who's worth a damn. I'm just not going to give you credit for blowing out the Chicago Bears that have clearly rolled over and died.
Well, they're very well-respected, the Niners.
Yes.
And that's what it is. I think there's some teams that just get the benefit of the doubt from people, right?
Yeah.
Because they've just had so much success. And the Niners are one of them. It's hard to wrap your head around the fact that the Niners are not good outside of injuries.
Yeah.
That's really hard for people to understand.
Yes.
So with Bosa back, Greenlaw jumping in there, Purdy's in there, the running back, even though he's third string, they need him. I forget his name. What's that dude's name?
Isaac Garendo.
Yeah, Garendo. He's all right. So he's in there. You know, they're at least, I think when you see those guys all in there, you're like, well, the Niners aren't that bad. Like, there's no way that this is still a losing team.
But the truth of the matter is...
Maybe it is.
Yeah. It's not a bad team, but the truth of the matter is this is the worst San Francisco team that we've seen during this run. Just is.
What's our best win this year? My Niners.
Let's take a look and see what the old Niners have cooking. Their best win is maybe Seattle.
Mm. It's probably Seattle.
Seattle?
Who else did they beat?
They beat the Jets to open the year.
The Bucks, the Bears, the Cowboys, Patriots. Yeah.
Wow.
Just not good. And I'm not saying that they can't bounce back. I mean, when you look at the amount of games that are lost, and look, Christian McCaffrey is a one of one. And when Christian McCaffrey's healthy, it's a huge difference. And you've been without Trent Williams, you've been without Ayuk. I think Ayuk was a bigger deal than anyone realized. Because without him to stretch, like, so much of what San Francisco does is predicated on having the ability to stretch the field. People make Brock Purdy out to be check down Charlie. He is not. Brock is a guy that pushes the ball downfield. But when you lose Ayuk, there's not another guy on this team that really pushes that pushes a defense that can stretch you vertically. And then you don't have someone that stretches you horizontally anymore because you don't have Christian McCaffrey. So you take those two guys out of an offense, and all of a sudden you look very, very normal. Your offensive line is not that good.
And you know who else helps stress a defense who's not getting separation, doing anything anymore? Debo Samuel.
No.
He's been healthy, but he's not effective.
He's a shell of what he was. And then you look at this defense, which was predicated on having just this nasty D line and by the way, a great linebacking core. And if you want to look at the Niners on defense in their front seven, you have two guys that you're concerned with. Fred Warner still plays at an elite level. I think he's the best off-ball linebacker in football. And Nick Bosa, who's still elite. But when I give you the front of Nick Bosa, Jordan Elliott, Malik Collins, and Leonard Floyd, I'm sorry, that is a far cry from DeForest Buckner, Eric Armstead, Solomon Thomas, and Nick Bosa. This is not, and Al Shaheer and Dre Greenlaw and Fred Warner, this is not the same linebacking core. I mean, Devondre Campbell and who's their other one that they've got that was playing before before Greenlaw came back.
Oh, what's his nuts?
Yeah, old what's his nuts, whose name is escaping me.
I'm looking for it.
But it's just, this is not the same team, and this is the problem in the NFL, is windows don't stay open forever. And in order to keep that window open when you start paying people, and by the way, you're going to have to pay Brock Purdy. He's not taking a $30 million deal. I don't think he's going to get 60, but Brock's not going to take 30. He's not going to sign for Geno Smith money. So this window is going to continue to shrink, and unless you start hitting on draft picks and start having guys that are real difference makers, I'm not saying the San Francisco 49ers can't win a Super Bowl, but I feel like their best opportunity to win is gone. And it's going to become significantly more harder, a more challenging going forward for them to win a Super Bowl.
All right, coming up next, a segment called Money, Money, Money. Isaac and Suk on the Fan. Yeah, this seggy will be about money. I just get interested in the Forbes franchise valuations every year.
Yeah.
And I don't know why, because it's kind of the same every year. They just keep going up and up and up, and they're, all these franchises are worth billions and billions and billions, and it's just, I don't know.
Someone
predictable.
Just, is it the Eagles? Someone is selling a 10% stake to some investors.
I think
it's the Eagles.
Well, I was going to bring that up. There's actually two NFL teams that quietly have sold to private equity. Not majority stakes, yes, but they've sold off pieces to private equity, which the NFL, for the longest time, they have been staunchly against.
Yes.
Private equity.
And you still have to have a majority owner that owns like whatever it is, 40 or 50% of a team. But
right.
Yeah, they are open now to selling these pieces. And yeah, it was Jeffrey Loria who sold 8% of the Philadelphia Eagles.
And then Stephen Ross sold, let me see if I can get the percentage. He sold a bit of the Dolphins.
Yeah.
Too.
Because remember, some of these guys don't necessarily have liquid cash. I mean, like you're tied up in the value of your team, but there is a difference between having a ton of cash. And remember, when you sign players to guaranteed deals, you have to put that guaranteed money in an escrow account. It's one of the reasons like why like the Raiders have never really been big players in giving people big free agents, because you have to put that money away, and they tend to be a cash poor organization. So if you're Jeffrey Loria, you just sold 8% of your team, and the team was valued at $8.3 billion.
Yikes.
So dude, that's a nice little chunk of change. You know,
makes sense.
Yeah, like, if you're just there and someone's like, wait, I can get how much? Like, what? Huh? Okay. Yeah.
How long before the Saudis are in the NFL?
I think, if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember if it was the Saudis or another Middle East fund like that, but I believe the group that owns the Wizards and the Capitals, and then maybe the Mystics as well, I do believe that they bought into the Washington Sports Group that owns that. They got a little piece of
fantastic.
Do you think we could get the Saudis to incentivize everyone in the NBA to not do the load management thing? Like, is there enough money there? They're just like, here, just seriously play every game. Can we do that?
I like it.
Well, I mean, we are
something.
We are at the point now where not many people are going to be able to afford this.
Well, they could threaten them with the bone saw.
Yeah, that would certainly do it. I don't know if the NFL would ever do that, but.
Yeah, but we also said they'd never open themselves up to private equity, and here they are.
Well, remember, too, that the NFL, like, we always think of the NFL as, like, this corporation, and it's not. It's just 32 rich guys. And when Jeffrey Loria goes and says, hey, dumbasses, I would like $700 million in cash for 8% of a team that I'll probably never sell anyways, so shut up. And then everyone's like, is that a good idea? And they're like, wait, I can get $700 million? And he's like, yes. And they're like, well, I want that too. And therefore, now you can sell to private equity. I mean, this stuff, wait till the Saudis come and are like, yeah, we, instead of 700, so he got 700 million for 8% of the Eagles. Wait till the Saudis come in and are like, how about instead of 700 mil, how about for 8% I give you $2 billion? And all of a sudden, watch the NFL owners all get together and be like, hey, well, you know, let's not judge the Saudis too harshly here, people.
Exactly.
Because remember, it is not, there is no league. Like, Roger Goodell is nothing. The NFL is nothing. It's just a group of people hired by 32 rich old white guys and Khan down in Jacksonville that get to decide.
Is he the one non-white guy? Well, the Bills, isn't the Bills gal? She's an Asian lady.
Is she?
Pagula, right?
Look it up.
The wife? The widow? Maybe?
The widow?
No, I feel like I'm over my skis.
Well, I know that there's one that who's not an old, rich, white guy. And outside of that, I'm not ready to stick my neck out.
I think it's Terry Pagula's wife.
You feeling pretty good about that?
No, I feel terrible about it, but I think she's Asian.
Okay.
And
so we got something.
But I don't know, did Terry Pagula die? I don't think he did.
I don't think so.
I don't know what I'm talking
about. So we've got a wife. I have all 32 owners that I'm clicking through here. Yeah. And let me tell you something.
What do we have?
We have
any ladies?
Well, they started with Shad Khan.
Yeah.
And then after that, I got white.
Where is Shad Khan from? Or what is his nationality?
I believe he's Indian.
Okay. Pakistani American.
Hey, don't look now, but we've got a white lady. We've got an old rich white lady, Denise York of the 49ers.
Really? She's running the Niners?
Yeah. Does that do anything for you?
Well, yes.
That's Jed's mom, right?
Jed's.
That makes you feel better that we have an old white lady?
Well, yeah. I think there's a couple old white ladies. Isn't the Bill's widow the old white lady?
I'm scrolling through, and I got a lot of old white guys. I mean a lot of old white guys.
Well, get through the whole list.
I'm working on it.
There's only one?
I mean, we got Jody.
Oh, yeah. The Seahawks.
Old white lady.
But she doesn't really own the team. She just is the head of the trust that owns the team.
Well, I mean, but technically she would be in charge, right?
Well, yeah, but she's not the owner. She won't even return his calls, no. You freaking bitch. What is up with that?
I think we got Shad Khan, and I think that's it.
Really?
Yeah.
What does it say for the Bills? Is Terry Pagula still with us?
I scrolled through the entire list, and I saw a couple ladies that were all white and then a bunch of old white guys, so... Unless this is
well, you said
list.
A couple ladies. This is what we want to know. Who are the ladies?
Oh, God bless
you. You're
America.
Doing a terrible job.
Well, it was one of those where I just had to click through to see the photos.
I think there's at least three technically NFL owners who are women. Mm-hmm. So you said York. I want to say the Bills. The Bills. And then...
okay.
Jodes.
Actually, according to this, so I just AI, it says there are 10 female owners.
I don't trust AI.
It says Sheila Ford Hamp
None
with
of us
the Lions.
Trust AI.
Oh, yeah. The Ford lady is running things.
Virginia now. McCaskey in Chicago, McNair in Houston.
There it is, McNair. That's
Gail Benson in Seattle, Jordy Allen.
Wait. Who? Gail Benson?
Gail Benson.
That
was
that?
The
Saints.
That was the wife.
Oh, Saints. You said Seattle.
Well, yeah. Seattle is Jordy Allen.
Okay.
And then we got Strunk down in Tennessee, Pagula in Buffalo, as you mentioned.
So all the old guys died.
Yes.
Well, 10 of the old guys died.
But like this says Carol Davis for the Las Vegas Raiders, but it's not because.
See, I don't trust AI.
I think there's a difference between someone that's running teams and someone that was married or kind of, you know, is kind of in charge.
What if the old white ladies take over the NFL? They team up.
Well, I really enjoy the show. Thank you. Bye.
So, like with the Bills, this says Kim and Terry Pagula have co-owned the Bills since 2014.
Yeah, that's what I thought. I thought his wife was a major player there.
Yeah. And then, the Virginia McCaskey lady that technically owns it, she's 101, for God's sakes.
Well?
She's 101.
So what?
Is she in charge?
She's wise.
I don't think so.
She's been around.
And then Jimmy Haslam that's D. So there's not many female only, but the Lions
but Haslam,
are.
Haslam's with us. He didn't die.
Yes, the Lions are the Sheila Ford Hamp is the owner.
Yeah, because the old Ford guy died.
Yes.
Okay, so there's more than we thought.
Yeah, they're all white.
Well, yes, except for Shad Khan.
Yeah. So
Shad Khan, whatever his name
look,
is.
We got one. We got one.
Well,
does that do anything for you?
Well, the women, I want the women to take over the NFL. I think that would be awesome.
Hey, we're tired of all these old white men running things. Let's get some old white women in here. Stat.
They'd probably be better at it. Anyway, the Cowboys are the, once again, the highest valued franchise in all of sports.
Yeah.
They are now at $10 billion.
And they would probably sell for...
$10 billion. They would probably sell for 20?
I would think they would sell close to that. I mean, a lot of these valuations, once the team gets sold, dude, they don't sell for anywhere near that. Like, I mean, they go for such bigger dough. And with all the things that come along with the Cowboys and all the stuff that they've built, dude, that's got to be $18 to $20 billion.
Guess which U.S. sports franchise is second highest valued?
I'm going to probably say the Yankees.
Nope. The Yankees are actually fourth now.
Yankees are fourth,
Can you believe that? Okay, so guess two and three. Buck, did you see these?
I haven't seen them. I'm going to guess the Dodgers is one of them.
Nope.
What about the Patriots?
Nope.
What about the Warriors?
Warriors, number two, $8.8 billion.
Bought it for $400 million, like 15 years ago.
The Warriors, really?
Yep.
Huh.
Yankees
Silicon four. Valley, Steph Curry, championships, let's go.
So Yankees are fourth, Knicks are fifth.
That's saying something.
Who's third? Because
the Knicks have done jack squat. And it's not the, I always thought the Patriots were up there.
They're sixth.
So I would assume it's NFL teams. Yep. So like Pittsburgh, Steelers, Ravens.
Oh, God, Jets. No. You're on the wrong track with Pittsburgh. That's a small market.
This is Rams,
right there. $7.6 billion.
Well, and again, they built a $5 billion stadium that's theirs. Yeah. So there you go.
Exactly. So the top three most valued franchises in the U.S. are Cowboys, Warriors, Rams.
Yeah. Yeah, and the Rams doesn't really fit in there. Where are the Lakers?
They are top 10. It's all New York, L.A.,
yeah,
pretty much.
Makes sense.
Blazers are 24th in the NBA. They are now valued at $3.5 billion.
They'll sell for... I mean, they got a crappy arena, but yeah, they'll sell for five or six.
Four, five?
Yeah.
They are right in between the Jazz and the Pistons. You know, I was looking at the NBA list. Half of that league is worth between $3 and $4 billion. Yeah. Pretty much half is all like bunched up in between $3 and $4 billion.
Sure.
And then, of course, you have your major market players that are worth a lot more.
Like, what did they value on this list, what did they value the Eagles at? Because we know what the evaluation they just gave them.
Good question.
For just selling a piece.
Wheels.
You know, they were valued at 8.3. And by the way, I'm guessing that that's what they say they're valued at. I guarantee that that's not what Loria sold at. I guarantee he put that at something higher. He probably cleared $1 billion on that.
Scrolling. Stand by, please. There they are. $6.6 billion.
6.6.
They're eighth.
And already they have it, supposedly in the stories, valued at 8.3. And I'm guessing he's like, if you want 8% of my team, I'm valuing it at more than 8.3. Just these teams are, you just don't lose money on them. And the ones that are coming up now with a bullet, like the last good investment we had was the MLS.
Yeah, because they don't pay the players a ton.
Yeah. Well, and remember, those teams were worth very little. Like, I want to say Merritt Paulson bought the Timbers for like $25 million.
They got that Apple deal, that TV deal.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's not really going that well. Am I wrong about that?
It wasn't going great, and then when Messi came over, it started doing much, much better.
Well, every time I tuned into it, which wasn't often, but I've seen it on there, it's all Messi stuff.
Yeah.
Everything, all the content on there is Messi, 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 Messi.
Yes. And because he is the one that... He's the one that moved the needle. He actually came over because originally they said that deal was sucking eggs, but people started paying attention when he came over. And he gets a piece of that. Dude, that guy is rolling in money. But Merritt Paulson, it was $35 million to enter the Major League Soccer as an expansion team. And a lot of those teams now are $1 billion teams. I don't know if the Timbers are there yet, but if you remember during that whole sex scandal and mismanagement and all that, he sold the Thorns. But you know what he didn't sell? The Timbers. He was like, yeah, I'm going to sell the Thorns and I'm just going to lay low for a while. He ain't selling the Timbers because that thing, if it's not worth $1 billion now, it's going to be real, real soon. Because I know last year, I think for the first time, several teams were valued at over $1 billion.
Boy, Matthew Stafford has already thrown two interceptions.
Mm-hmm.
Both dropped.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I mean, he has thrown it right to two Niners. Mm. On both of their drives, yeah. And they dropped it. Now they've had to punt both times, but
yeah you can't. That's what I say, man. Trust
he doesn't
the,
look
trust
very
in
good.
The Rams is tough.
It really is.
One week they look all world, and then the next, it just goes straight to hell.
Yeah, it's 3-0 Niners. By the way, the lowest valued NFL franchise, $4.1 billion, the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yeah, and they're cheap.
And the Lions are 31st.
Are they?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. As good as they are.
A little bit. Mm-hmm. So this is MLS, which again, you could buy in for just a couple, you know, 25, 30 million not that long ago. FC Los Angeles, 1.2, Miami over a bill, Galaxy a bill. I'm looking to see where your Portland, your Timbers are about 700 mil. It's not a bad investment.
Let's take a look at the quarterbacks in the portal. Next, here's Buck.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games, or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thursday Night Football, looking very Thursday Night Football-y.
Yeah.
It is 3-0.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Lots of punts.
Yeah, the end of the year, these games can get that way when both teams are beat up.
And Sue's got the right attire on for it.
That's right.
That's
got
right.
Your punt sweatshirt
wearing
on today.
My punt sweatshirt. Some good old, hey, Brock Purdy, right? Iowa State. Let's play some Iowa football. And by the way, I hate to do this.
But do it.
We got to address it.
I think you need to do it.
We got it. We got to talk
about it. That's what we're here
for. So in the last break there, we had a...
That was Pat Kelsey.
Pat Kelsey.
Or was that
Pat?
His name?
Yeah, Pat Kelsey, right?
That's correct.
The Louisville
Who's the Louisville coach? And his team's struggling a little bit. And he basically said, "Don't worry about me. My life's great." And I said, his kids are healthy. And he said, "My wife's hot." And you brought attention to this, Pat. And you got to be careful when doing this because people like me and everyone else that hears that instantly, it is my job as a news contributor to immediately work a Google. And I'm not trying to be mean here. I'm not, because it's a subjective term. But when you go on national, like when you national airwaves and you're like, "Hey, my wife's hot."
People are going to look.
People are going to look.
Google.
And I hate to do this, But what he should have said was, my wife is a great mom. That's...
God.
Well, look.
She looks like a mom.
Not every...
She's not ugly.
She's not ugly, but
objectively, you wouldn't be like...
No.
She's hot.
And everything is subjective, right? And I'm sure you think she's beautiful, but that's like the same thing like when the wife on Facebook is like, date night with the cutest guy in the world, and then it's just Steve. Like, we get it. You can't go on there being like, I got a hot wife, and then you got a Midwestern, like, mom. Objectively, she is not hot.
I think we've talked about this before on the show, but forgive me. I find it very cringy when anyone says that their wife or girlfriend is hot.
It's weird.
It is weird. It's cringy. And the reason it's cringy is, one, they may or may not be hot.
Yeah.
You aren't the end-all be-all.
No, you need third-party confirmation on that. You can't just say that.
And even if they are hot, you don't have to say that. We can all see it. So it's dumb to say it.
Yeah.
But the other thing is, if you say your wife or girlfriend is hot, that is assumed that we think or that you think they're hot.
Yeah.
You married them.
Yeah.
Or, you know, or you're dating them.
Of course we think you
think that. Of course we think you think that. Everybody thinks that their wife is hot or girlfriend is hot or at one time was.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So let's not talk about this. Why are we saying these things? This is a really cringy statement.
It's tough.
Don't say it.
And then immediately, again, now I'm the bad guy because I'm forced to go look, and I'm here to report to the people. I'm just telling you the findings.
Maybe she was sitting right there, and he had to add that in.
He had to.
She was staring him down. Yeah. I bet that's what
was. Didn't have a choice.
I mean, he could have said, I have a beautiful family.
There you go.
I like that.
Perfect. There you
go. He said he has healthy kids, but you said it could have said beautiful family.
Yeah, beautiful family.
No one's going to argue that.
No, no. And that's right, because if you say beautiful family, you put your arms around everyone. Because look, when in the family photos with the kids, you could say, yeah, you know what, dude, you got a beautiful family.
It's so true. Like when you say...
But not hot.
When you say, I have a beautiful family, no one can ever... Like, flaws and all...
It will never be disputable.
No. A family is beautiful.
Yeah.
Right?
Hot.
Flaws and all. Hot is actually a thing. Like, you have to either be it or you are not it.
Yeah.
Hot elicits a reaction. Ooh, that person's hot.
Yeah. Like, Sark had a hot wife, although I think they're getting divorced. Like, he could probably get away. Like,
yeah, he had a black and white Instagram post about it. It was very odd.
Yeah, it was weird. Who's the Arkansas coach that was always taking his shirt off?
Musselman. He's at USC now.
Yeah. Hot wife. Like, you know.
Are you sure?
What?
Musselman has a hot wife?
Yeah, he's got
Hot, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he's got a hot wife. Like.
Oh, Danielle Sargent.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
Yeah, hot wife. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, that is a really, if you're throwing that out there, that is a really high bar to clear. It really is. You go with beautiful family. I like it. I think from now on, we're putting out a public service announcement. Go with beautiful family. No one can question it. And you know what? No one would Google it either. If you said, I have a beautiful family, no one's Googling that. But you got to be careful with hot. Got to be careful.
Jason Sakanic family. I don't know.
Yeah.
No, it's not happening.
And by the way, I say the same thing. If BTJ was ever like, oh yeah, I got a hot partner, I'd be like, ooh,
careful there.
Back that up. Don't put that on me. Don't put that evil on me.
Now you're making me live up to that?
Come on. No.
My wife calls me handsome for that reason. I'm not hot.
It's
but
better.
She thinks I'm handsome.
Yeah,
and
you can live with that.
I'm like, oh, that's pleasant. Yeah. Thank you. Well, I'm glad we covered that. It's hard content.
It is.
And we'll be called sexist.
But look, someone's got to do it.
That's right.
Sean McVay, you can say you have a hot wife. She's like a Brazilian model.
But don't, no, see, okay, I'm sorry. Don't say that because we can all see it.
Yeah, we know it.
You don't need to say that.
No, it's a good point.
Ever.
Yeah.
This is why it's cringy to say it.
Yeah. If it's true, it shouldn't be said. If it's not true, it shouldn't be said.
Exactly.
So let's just not say it.
Exactly. This
is my point. I'll say it. Sean McVay, if you said you have a beautiful family, you know what my next response is? You got a hot
She's
wife.
A hot. It's almost as if we have stumbled upon something that we've never discussed here, which is very rare because we've been together for so long.
Yeah.
But perhaps hot, there should be like a hot committee. Like hot is only judged by others.
Yeah.
It's exclusively not judged by you yourself.
It's exclusively not judged by you.
Can't do it.
Third party. You're right. Third party validation.
You need to outsource that. And it's also tough too if you've got a buddy that always is talking about his hot wife. That's also weird too. Cause you're like, what is my appropriate response to that? Do you want me to be like, oh gosh, I want a piece of your wife? Like, that's weird.
Here's or you another be like, actually, no, she's not, Jay.
Yeah, like what?
Yeah, another one is strange. When somebody starts dating someone, don't talk about them.
No.
How great is she? Well, if your friends don't think she's great, that's putting them in a pretty tough spot.
Well, what if they end up being married?
Yeah.
So you can't say, oh, dude, you could do way better than that. You don't say that.
Yeah.
Because he may end up marrying her.
Yeah.
And then it's like, hey, a-hole.
Yeah, if your friends all hated her, and then you're like, well, guess what? I picked her. She's the one.
We had a guy that I went to school with, and did you ever have that guy that had a girlfriend, but not really? He kind of kept her hidden, and like, he was not, I'm trying the best way to put this, like, he did not want to admit that that was his girlfriend. You know what I mean?
He wanted to have the girlfriend, but not publicly, kind
yes.
of.
Yeah. He was kind of ashamed of her,
yeah.
you know? There was a nickname that he is the one that coined the nickname, and it was not a flattering nickname. You know, it was just really, really bad, like, cringy things. I mean, it was rough. And this went on for, like, the better part of, like, a year. And we were all like, oh, my God. And it just was awkward. And then we all graduated and we went about our own business. And, you know, life. And years and years and years later, I reconnected with him. And you know what happened?
They got married. Yeah.
And it was like...
And didn't you like the fact that you never talked crap?
He did, though. Like,
but that's neither here nor there. That's, you know, he married her.
Yeah.
I'm saying you can sleep well at night because you didn't.
Yes. We all had to, and when we found out, we all had to do the, oh, great. And he was like, yeah, I know, man. Like, he did kind of acknowledged it, but no one really wanted to talk about it because it was like, I can't believe that happened. And it's weird. It was a rough moment out there. And I always wondered if she knew, you know?
Boy, if she did.
Probably not.
I hope not.
I mean, you can't be doing that.
And if she did, then, you know, God bless the power of forgiveness. But they've been married a long time now and got kids and, you know, whole deal. Just kind of took us all by surprise.
Someone on the Vancouver Ford text line says it's like saying you live in a mansion.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah, kind of. Yeah, you can. Because it's like that, I may come by and go, that's not a mansion.
No. Again, you're going to live in a mansion, that better be Floyd Mayweather style. Like, you better have a mansion. Like, it's, again, high bar to clear. Really, really, really high bar to clear. In fact, you're better off probably just going low. Setting the bar nice and low. Doing the Will Ferrell. Hey, they're not all first picks, you know? And then someone meets you like, what is your wife's beautiful? And you're like, hey, I'm glad you said that. Thank you.
Yeah, to some she is.
To some, just downplay it.
All right, coming up next, the transfer quarterback in the portal, who is supposedly the number one guy. You've never heard of him. I mean, maybe you have.
Maybe.
But I don't think you have. That's next on The Fam. All right. Coming up next in the club, we'll tell you about the Ashland newspaper takeover.
Yes.
I've been teasing.
The jacking, as it were.
It's a jacking. That's right.
It is crazy to think, though, the Niners and Rams both played their best game of the year last week and looked like gangbusters, and now both of them combined look like absolute dog crap.
I think that the Thursday night football should just stop.
It's really bad. I mean, it's just...
Seriously, I think it should just go away. I'm not kidding.
Except they pay $1 billion for it.
I know.
So
it's not going to go anywhere, but it just sucks. It always sucks. It doesn't matter who's playing. It just sucks. Yeah.
Like, both of these teams came into this week like, oh, man, like, if we just keep this going, and now you're looking at it. Like, they keep showing Kyle Shanahan on the sidelines. You know, he's just like, what the hell?
And it's raining pretty hard. And
yeah, exactly.
It's a mess.
No one in the
Stafford
stands,
looks terrible.
No one in the stands wants to be there at this point. You just call the game over.
So I'm looking here at the transfer portal QB rankings.
Yes.
And do you know who they have? This is 24/7 because ESPN was behind a paywall.
Yeah.
Do you know they have number one among quarterbacks?
It was the Tulane kid, but he's gone.
Yeah, and he only went to Duke,
which is so weird. You would think that he would have been a much bigger deal than that. Although maybe, you know, maybe Duke ponied up. I'm trying to think of who else.
You've never heard of him?
I've never heard of him.
I don't think so.
Well, I know the Alabama's got a kid in the portal.
It's not him.
And I don't even know what his name is, but
they
I saw
the Liberty kid
that Alabama had a kid in the portal.
The number two guy is Fernando Mendoza. They have him as a top 10 overall portal kid.
From 98 yards of my boys. Sense.
Yeah, former four star.
Yeah.
The number three guy, and again, I'm just talking about quarterbacks here, is Malik Murphy, the kid who left Duke.
So we're just shuffling quarterbacks now?
Four star. Well, he left. Yeah. He's 6'5". I think he was at, he was the kid at Boise for a while, wasn't he?
Malik Murphy?
Yeah. I think he was at Boise.
Was he?
Then he went to Duke. Now he's in the portal.
What about Jackson Arnold?
No. Well, Arnold, no. Wegman is next, and he just committed to Houston.
Let me point out, I mean, look, these kids may end up doing better things. Wegman sucked. Like, he was bad. And so was Jackson Arnold.
Miller Moss next.
Okay.
And
I can see that.
But the number one quarterback that they have in here is Luke Kramenhoek. You know who that is?
I don't know who that is.
He was the backup at Florida State.
Was he like a big five-star kid?
Well, they've got him at four stars here.
Okay.
But, yeah.
Because I did see that there are five former five-star quarterbacks in the portal. And I think the North Texas kid, whose name escapes me.
Chandler Morris.
Chandler Morris. I saw a thing where he had good numbers and people were pretty high on him.
Chandler Morris, you may see at Autzen early next year because it's sounding like he may be headed to Oklahoma State, although there's nothing official there.
Okay.
And Oregon's playing Oklahoma State.
And then I do know that... the Castellanos kid is at he's the BC guy.
I've heard mixed about him.
That he's back at Florida State. That
he's going to Florida State.
He's going to Florida State, and I saw that the other day. And I think
Jackson Arnold's going to.
He was somewhere in Florida. I think he might have been at Central Florida, and then went Central Florida to Boston College, and is now back to Florida.
Oh, you're talking about Castellanos.
Castellanos. Yeah, he started it at. I wanted it might have been maybe it was South Florida, but it started at another program. He's on a lot of these kids, man. It's the third transfer, you know. And I also saw this one too that there is a possibility he won't be back at Utah, but they're saying that Cam Rising may be applying for another year.
But he's in the portal, though, right?
Yeah, he's in the portal.
You know what I'd love to see? What percentage of kids who transfer once go on to transfer twice? I bet it's a really high number.
Sure.
You know what it feels like every kid's on their third transfer. It feels like.
It does seem like that.
Yeah.
It's like they weren't happy. If they weren't happy at the first place and they weren't like second, they're not going to be the third.
Well, and not all transfers are created equal. The quarterback one obviously is if you didn't get a chance to play or you've worn out your welcome. Then there's the I'm a good player at a lower school and I'm moving my way up. There's a I'm a good player in a Power Four conference, but my team sucks. You know, a lot like, you know, Dylan. Well, I guess that doesn't suck. Like Dylan Gabriel, I want to go play for a championship contender. I mean, this happens. Northwestern's best lineman, Kentucky. I think Oklahoma has like five receivers that are in the portal. I think what happens a lot is that if you're a big time kid and you end up at a program like Oklahoma, because the idea is that like if you're at Northwestern and you pop, you're leaving Northwestern, right? Like, why would you stick around at Northwestern Kentucky? But I think what you're seeing a lot is places like Florida or Florida State or Oklahoma, like these kids that went there under the guise of we're going to be contenders, right? Like you're going to Oklahoma, you're going to Florida, you are expecting to win 10 games and compete for college football playoffs. And you go to these places and it turns out you're a 5-6 win team. I think that is like, there's a ton of kids that are like, dude, I'm just going to greener pastures. And I don't necessarily think that's a good thing because I do think a lot of the kids that end up in the portal, they end up in bad landing spots or like, as you guys said, they end up having to chase the next thing as opposed to sticking around and trying to make a nice career for yourself out of Oklahoma.
All right, coming up next, we'll kick it off with the Ashland newspaper story. It's quite terrifying. And then I've got wild news, and I do believe this is an unbelievable story, out of the world of Scrabble. When's the last time you played Scrabble?
Not too long ago. Occasionally I'll come home and my nerd family will be playing a game of Scrabble.
Okay.
And we'll sit down and we do it every now and then.
All right, so that's next in the club on The Fan.
Think warm. Think palm trees. Think baseball. Hi, I'm MLB.com's Matt Monaghan. The long, dark freeze is over and spring training is finally here. If you're a baseball fan looking for a quick, easy way to get all the scores, top stories, and best sound bites from Florida and Arizona, you're in luck.
I don't think people realize how good we are. I don't even know if we realize how good.
The Morning Lineup Podcast, a short, less than 10-minute baseball highlight show, is available anywhere on any platform you listen to podcasts on, 5 days a week.
We can't wait to meet you there.